That was what we also wanted the coach to fit to do that and take us onward and upward. So, Coach Chef certainly checks all 10 of those boxes and then some. His name came up very early in the process, right? Once we started with traits and we started doing our homework behind the scenes, it came up early and often, and it kept coming up. And we talked to a number of coaches, we talked to scouts, we talked to some head coaches that are currently in the College World Series, we talked to some coaches that were formerly in the College World Series. We talked to even head of umpires, crews, other things, and time again, it came back and it checked all the right boxes, and we were convinced he was the right guy. We certainly liked his track record and resume, obviously. Virginia Tech is an easy place to recruit coaching talent to, talent that fits and stands for what we stand for. And we'll succeed here at Virginia Tech at a championship level, academically, socially, and athletically with that formula. I know that. We appreciate Coach and his family's willingness to uproot and move here. I know that's never easy, but it's a package deal, and we really appreciate y'all jumping in with us and leaving a really nice opportunity and coming down to Blacksburg and Virginia Tech. So together, all of us, all of you, we're going to make Blacksburg a baseball town. It has been before, and it will be again. And we want to be in the NCAA tournament, certainly, but we have the right coach, and we're going to give him time to build it the right way, to build a program, not a quick fix, but again, one that's going to be a challenger brand first and a champion brand later. We will have a program and a stadium that our fans and community will love. We're soon going to have a tremendous home field advantage that will personify that Hokies respect, one that is intimidating to opponents in the right way and in a good way. Union Park at English Field will soon become known as one really tough place to come into and win. I can't wait for that. The new era of Virginia Tech baseball starts today, and please join me in welcoming our new and next head coach, Coach John Sheff. All right, we got to do like the Major League Draft here. We got to stand up front for a picture here. Number 14, is that you? All right, good. All right, don't hold back here.
Well, when I was trying to figure out what was the best way to start this, because as you can imagine, you worked for an awful long time for a day like today, and it kind of just hit me actually as I got in the elevator and I got with Whit this morning, and it's kind of a funny story, but as I was preparing to come down here, and baseball coaches don't wear these kind of clothes every day, but every once in a while for big occasions, so. I didn't have a maroon tie, so I had to go out to visit my friends at Joseph A. Bank to see if I could get a maroon tie. And it took me about 10 minutes before I bought a $41 tie. I haven't spent $41 on a tie in my life, but I got the tie I was looking for. So I get in the elevator or wherever I was, and those guys said to me, "Boy, I bet you didn't have this tie in your arsenal. It's a Virginia Tech tie, right?" So I said, "No, I didn't, but someday I'll tell you where I got it from." So when I got here 2 days ago, I checked in at that incredible hotel on campus, and the guy behind the desk was wearing his tie. And I said to him, I said to myself, should I ask this guy this question or not? And I said, "I'm just going to do it, because I've learned over the years, if you want something, you go get it." I said, "How much you want for that tie?" And he said, "You want my tie?" I said, "Well, it's kind of a big thing I got to do on Thursday, and I don't have a tie that has those colors. I got one of the colors, but not two." He said, "I'll give you the tie." So my family checks in the day after, and he brings the tie up to the room, and lo and behold, here it is. We're good. And that's kind of a long-winded story there. What a privilege and an honor, okay, it is to stand before you folks as Virginia Tech's head baseball coach. As Whit had said, as an opponent in the past, my first 2 years in Maryland, we were in the ACC. And so I visited here as an opponent, as a head coach of an opposing team. And in those visits, I had the opportunity to observe Virginia Tech athletics and the passionate fan base and the championship culture. clearly, you know, always stood out to me. And it also intrigued me, and I followed it over the last X amount of years since those visits. When you step foot on this campus, it doesn't take very long to realize how committed the administration is, the athletic department is to being competitive and winning at a very high level. Virginia Tech's also been very committed, obviously, over the years to developing student athletes on and off the field, as I've done my research, as you folks know. Those things are real important to me. One of the first things I did when I got to Maryland, you know, the APR wasn't very good in the baseball program at the time, so I had to create an academic culture there. And that was one of the cultures we created there, the academics first, and then all the things that surround our baseball program. So that's one of the things I intend to do there. Here, I'm sorry. I know Wood had introduced my family, but I just want to take 2 seconds. Me and Barb have been married for 20 years. And this profession is a tough one because it's always dragging you away. The recruiting aspect, the traveling aspect, it always drags you away from your family. And, you know, I really have never gotten an opportunity to kind of publicly thank her for which how she raises these 3 kids here. So I know she doesn't want me to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Anna's 11, John Michael's 10, Sam's 8. They're all pretty juiced to be here. If nothing else, they love all the gear that was thrown their way last night. They were running around town with them, so it was really cool. So. From an administrative standpoint, obviously I want to thank President Sands and Whip and the Board of Trustees for this great opportunity. Obviously, Whip's reputation as an AD, it kind of speaks for itself. I don't have to, you all know that, I'm not going to go into that. But I would say that number one, it's having read about what's been going on here since he came as far as the trend upward and the successful one coach after another, and you're like, man, that's, you know, from an outsider looking in, you're saying to yourself, that's something pretty special there. And then to be contacted by him, and then obviously to be given this opportunity kind of, you know, puts on my shoulders, you know, it's a great feeling to be included, I guess, in that group. And I'm really very appreciative of that. As our conversations went, it got me more and more excited about the prospect of working with him and building a championship baseball culture in this great town. I certainly appreciate you and the opportunity that you afforded me here. Quickly, I just wanted to thank the place I just came from, the Maryland players, the assistant coaches, the support staff. We had some pretty good days and accomplished some pretty good things over the last 5 years. Those guys bought into our vision. They came to work every day. We created a good working environment, which will be the same thing here, positive working environment for our guys. And I try to create an environment where I don't micromanage people and where it's an easy working environment, where the standards are set high and the expectations are there. And I let guys do their thing. The coaches coach and the players play. And obviously, we're pretty big into our preparation and instruction, but I try to let people do their jobs. But I always appreciate what those guys did for me personally there. Obviously, Kevin Anderson, Damon Evans, for kind of what they did for me and my family over the last 5 years, and I think that program's in a good place as I leave. As far as my vision here for Virginia Tech baseball, we'll work real hard, you know, as a staff to put our players in the right position, whether it's on the field, whether it's off the field, academically, to put them in the best position they can be in to be successful. Two of the things I really talk regularly about with our guys in preparation and take care of the small, detailed little things. I think college baseball is a sport that's made up of one small thing after another, whether it's how you wear your uniform or how you put a bunt down or what kind of teammate you are or how you dress when you go to class or how you visit with your professors and develop a relationship with them. And so it's one little thing after another, and it's one day of preparation after another, and it's setting a pretty high standard and not looking too far down the road. It's worrying about Tuesday when you're on Tuesday, and we'll worry about tomorrow when we get there. But let's worry about what we have to do today to get better today. One thing I've always tried to do is stand behind our guys, our players, our coaches, and kind of fight for them and know that and have them know that I have their backs. And in a lot of the conversations I've had with the current returning Virginia Tech players and the new incoming ones, that's been a constant part of that conversation, so that they kind of know where I'm stand, where I'm coming from. I think it's important that the players know that the coaches are behind them, no matter what sport we're talking about here, and spend particularly that the head coach kind of has their back through the ups and the downs, because as you all know, I'm sure we've got a lot of, we have current athletes and a lot of former athletes in here, and you need to know that whatever the coaching staff is doing, that through ups and the downs, that, that they're going to have your back. From a timing perspective, I mean, clearly this is a really incredible time to be part of this baseball program. We compete in the top baseball conference in the country. That's something that I don't shy away from that. I mean, it's something I embrace. I really enjoyed my time in the ACC in 2013 and 14. The competition's tremendous. The relationships, the other coaches in the league treated me very well as a new coach in the league at the time. So I really felt like it was a good situation for me and for the program I was at the time, and I really look forward to getting back in that. Obviously, with what this place is doing from a facility standpoint and the commitment that you folks have made to it, is, I mean, any coach in America, when you listen to that, when you learn about it, when you see it, it immediately just grabs your interest and your intrigue, and you say, man, you know, where is this going? Like, you know, what could I do with this? And that grabbed me from the get-go, and certainly that grabbed me a long time ago, actually. And then obviously when I was fortunate enough to get a phone call from Witt, it was even more so. When you look at, one of the things I constantly talk about in recruiting is value. Like, what can a place offer a recruit from a value standpoint? And when you look at Virginia Tech, and specifically Virginia Tech baseball, and you put the word value on the program, and you look at the academics, the campus, the location, the conference, the facilities, the administration being behind it, a new coaching staff, the value that we can put in front of a recruit is completely unarguable. I mean, it's checking one box after another. And I think anyone that knows anything about college baseball on a high level, when you evaluate those check boxes of value, I don't think any recruit that will be after can just look away when you evaluate all that value, in my opinion. As far as our current team goes, I've tried to contact just about every single player. There's just a few that I haven't spoken with yet. I'd say about 90 to 95% of my half of the guys I haven't. That'll happen in the coming days. The conversations I've had with them have been tremendous. They seem like they're very intrigued and very, they basically want to get back here and get things rolling. And the staff that I'll assemble really looks forward to them coming back to Blacksburg and kind of getting the whole thing in motion. Speaking of that staff, I look forward to putting one together that's going to be, I'm in the process of putting one together that'll be very excited for this challenge. There'll be positive, non-ego guys that are teachers, developers, very ton of energy, a lot of high energy guys, guys that understand our recruiting footprint, specifically in Virginia, and guys that are going to be willing to go out and do what we have to do to get this thing as good as possible, as quick as possible. Speaking of recruiting, where I'll start there is, this is Virginia Tech, and we want to build it right with Virginia players first. One of the things that we established when I first got to Maryland is that we wanted to grab a hold on that state first and then work our way out. And I know we have great competition in the state. I know that full well. But I also know that with what we have, the value that we have to offer recruits, that we'll be in the forefront of the best players in the state and from neighboring states. We have great relationships in some of the neighboring states, and some of the best relationships I have in recruiting are in states like Pennsylvania and New Jersey and New York, where I'm from, and Pennsylvania, where my wife's from. So there's a lot of really good baseball in the Mid-Atlantic region, as most of you know, and specifically in this state, and they'll all be attacked on a regular basis. I encourage, you know, recruits to do their homework on our staff when it's announced, and me as well. And I think what they'll see is high energy, blue collar coaches,
that are very active, that have a proven track record in the regular season, in the postseason, in the NCAA tournament. And then obviously I think once we show guys the value that's here, I'd like to think that's going to put us in a good position. The last thing I'll bring up is this. You know, as a former outsider looking in and now as an insider, one of the first things you look at as a coach is commitment. And clearly there's an awful lot of commitment here based off of the things I already said. But the last thing I will tell you is that for me, commitment is being able to stand here and look at this. Because it's not typical that you see this at a baseball introduction. You normally would see this at a football or a basketball introduction. So to be able to see this at a baseball introduction screams commitment, you know, to me. And it also, you know, I think tells me and our family that we're certainly in the right place. And then when you couple with everything that's going on outside this building, it just gives you an awful lot of good feelings to kind of get this thing moving and get it where you folks want it to be. So I really thank everyone for coming out and supporting it and welcoming myself, my family. This is a great day really for us as baseball people and as a baseball family. And we look forward to really getting it going. And I'll coin the phrase now that we're going to build it in Blacksburg. And that'll be something we talk about with our players and in general. And I'm really looking forward to building it in Blacksburg. And thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Open it up for questions since Coach Shep does not know many of you. Go ahead and ID yourself and we will get your wireless mics, raise your hands, and we'll start down the front.
Hey Coach, Mike Barber from the Richmond Times Dispatch. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, obviously there's a premier program in state and you know Brian really well.
Yep.
How do you view that either as a plus or a challenge as you take this job?
I think it's both. I've had a really strong relationship with Brian and Kevin McMullen and Carl Kuhn for years. I've known McMullen since the 90s when I was at Marist and he was an assistant at St. John's. So those guys are friends of mine. And I've leaned on Brian in the past. When I first got it going in Maryland, I'd drive over there, you know, every June, at least the first one, and the second one we drove there and beat him, try to beat him, but play against him. So I go over there just to kind of pick his brain a little bit about some things he did early on there. And, you know, he's helped to give me good ideas. But, you know, on the other side, it's a challenge in that we're gonna bring in the best guys we can and put the best product in the field. Are we friends? Yes, we are. But, you know, when you get on the field, it's not about friends anymore. And, I mean, you know, we've joked about that. He knows that. You know, you can go out and do your job and put your team in the best position.
Paul. Hey Coach, Paul Woody, Richmond Times Dispatch. What were the magic words that Rick Babcock said to you that got you to think about Virginia Tech and ultimately become the Virginia Tech?
Well, really, it really wasn't that way. I mean, as I said before, I did a lot of, I read it, you know, in the offseason, I've been a kind of a student of college baseball for a long time as a player. And now, with all the information that's on the computer that you can handle to get on your phone, a lot of people read books at night. I get on my phone and I read about college baseball at night. And in the off season, I'll read about different things and where things are going. So I kind of started reading about this whole situation a long time ago. And there's a few places I think that I would read about, and this was always one of them. And a lot had to do with what he was doing here and with other sports, as I mentioned, with football and basketball and the facilities. And so when we actually did talk, I already felt like I knew an awful lot. But in all honesty, a lot of it for me was just about how the whole situation was handled and about how personal it was, you know, about how it wasn't about, you know, sometimes when you get in these situations, it can be very, you know, business kind of thing. And it is business, but the way it was handled by the folks here was very personal, and then they made you feel very comfortable with things. And That was really all it was. It wasn't really any words, it was just more confidence.
Good afternoon, Coach. David Teal with the Daily Press and your board members. Maryland was arguably a more difficult rebuild than Virginia Tech hadn't been in the tournament in 4 decades.
Right.
What were the initial building blocks that you were able to put in place that allowed you to get it turned around there in such quick order?
Well, it started with the players. That's where it always starts at, with the product you're going to put on the field. Through the players and coaches, I was able to get some good young coaches. I brought Rob Vaughn with me when I left Kansas State, and they're going to name Rob the head coach there at Maryland today, which is awesome for them and for him. But it was good young coaches that wanted to get out and get after and recruit. And we were lucky, honestly, when we got there. There were some good players there to begin with. And I credit Eric Backus that I followed him, and he left us some really good players. And in particular, there were good players in that freshman class that were just coming in. So we were all they knew. And it was just a day-to-day development. That was the physical part of it. That was the development part of it. But then also, a big thing for me was just getting the attitude and the culture in that it's not okay to go 1-2 on the weekend. We're the best 1-2 team in the country in 2013 for a while on the weekend. It's easy to go 1-2 on the ACC on the weekend. And gradually, the attitude became that it's not okay to lose on Sunday when you have a chance to win the series. And how can we turn that? What do we need to do to turn that from 1-2 to 2-1 on the weekend? And then eventually, it was 3-0. And a lot of it was mentality and attitude. A phrase I'd always use with them was, you know, what you think is going to happen probably will. So depending on what you think, you might want to change what you think before we kick this thing off on Friday. And then the other thing was just making sure to take care of details, that we could put a bunt down when we had to, that we were keeping our strikeouts below 5 a game, so that we were working on like a two-strike approach, for instance. Little things that maybe weren't being taken care of enough. And so when you combine those little things with the right mentality, it started to turn into what it became.
Hi, Mark Berman of the Roanoke Times. When you took over at Maryland, you took over a team that had, the previous coach had built to a certain point, and they had a winning season in 2012, and then you took it to new heights.
Yep.
Is here they haven't had a winning season for 4 straight years now. Is the challenge? Is this a different challenge in terms of this job than what you had at Maryland, or is the blueprint pretty similar, and you can just kind of turn to your notebook and go, all right, I did that here at Maryland, that here at Maryland, I can do the same things at Virginia Tech.
I don't think any situation is the same. I think, you know, they're all somewhat different. I think there's really good returning players here. There's good incoming players that are coming in here. Very similar to the way it was when I got there. At this time in June, or when I first took that position at Maryland in 2012, I didn't know, it wasn't as clear then, because a lot of the good players there were freshmen, they were just coming into school. And I didn't know as much then about the returning players as I do about these players. So that might be a little bit premature for me to answer that one clearly. I think I still need to learn more, watch guys, evaluate guys. I can tell you in talking to them, their attitudes are tremendous as far as wanting to come back here and get things moving. There's going to be a lot of older players on this team. And one thing I've talked to them about is, let's get this in a situation so that when you leave here next May, you feel good about it. Every college athlete wants to leave whatever sport they're playing and feel good about it. Whether it's signing a pro contract, whether it's going to an NCAA tournament, whether it's having a winning season, whether it's winning 2 games in the ACC or 10, I can't put my finger on exactly what is going to make each guy feel good about it, but I want to get it, our staff is going to want to get it to a point where those guys feel good about it. So they can leave Blacksburg feeling really good about their college baseball career and how it ended.
Chris. Chris Coleman from Tech Sideline. You mentioned in-state recruiting being a priority. A lot of guys from the state of Virginia play professional baseball, but not necessarily, maybe a lot of them didn't go to Virginia Tech. They went to UVA or went out of state. How do you break down that recruiting barrier, so to speak, to get more of those guys here?
Well, I think part of it is there's a lot of things to sell. to a recruiter. I talked about value up there. Clearly, this whole thing is value. That new thing that's going up there is value. I think the coaching staff that we'll put together, their backgrounds create value. I feel like I can sit in with a family and a kid and talk about how we'll play in the NCAA tournament and how we'll have success in the postseason. Why? Because I've been to 11 of them. And the coaches that we assemble will be to several of them. We'll have already been to several. And it's not an ego thing. I'm not an egomaniac. I don't sit up there and talk about my past, but in that way, I'll talk about it a little bit just to create credibility. You know, I don't think you can sit there and talk about having success or postseason success if you've never had it before. So I think that's hopefully that answers your question as far as breaking down those barriers. I mean, from what I know, when I've talked to a lot of people about it, and having recruited a lot of Virginia kids over the last 5 years, is that, you know, I think a lot of good Virginia athletes want to come to school here and play for a lot of different reasons. And I think we're hopefully in a position where we can, you know, give them those reasons and confirm those reasons for them and make them feel comfortable that you don't have to, you know, go out of state or go two states over or go two states south to have tremendous success. You can have them right in your own backyard. And for an in-state student, the cost to go to school here is very reasonable for the level of education that you're going to get here and the quality of the degree.
Whit, I'm curious. Obviously, Coach was in the regional, so timing-wise, how did this all work?
Thank you for asking that. We certainly wanted to be respectful of Coach and enable him to finish up the season, so it was some anxious waiting. I was certainly rooting for them to win as much as possible and go as far as they could, but when they didn't, or they won but didn't advance to the Super Regional, I believe it was the next day that I called Kevin Anderson. I can't remember the exact date. And Coach has a representative that helps him, and we were able to work through that. But we wanted to do it right and be respectful, but we were very anxious to get started. But from the time between Coach Mason's departure to we were able to talk to Coach Sheff, it gave us a chance to really do our homework and work behind the scenes. And that's where we just touched base with a lot of people, and his name kept coming up and coming up. But we were very anxious to get with him face to face. And when we did, I really liked his approach and the fit, and it was a no-brainer. And it's nice to have someone that had done his homework and really wanted to be a part of a college town in this community.
Paul asked about magic words, and $400,000 is a good magic word. That's a considerable investment in a baseball program. Why was it worth it to you to spend that kind of money to get Coach?
Yeah, and you know what? It is an investment, but also in our league, if you look at the other salaries, et cetera, that's the going rate. And quite frankly, Coach, his ability may even be worth more than that. But that was a great step up for us. And no, there's no magic word. Joe, or kind of suggest that, but this is an amazing place to recruit coaches and talent to, and I believe we have some stability now, and we can provide some opportunity, and it's an exciting place to be. So Virginia Tech is a better recruiter than I am.
Does he
want
to help you re-up in negotiations?
It's too late for that, sir.
John, you and Whit have both mentioned several times the new facility that's under construction. What does your experience tell you? How important are facilities to prospects and their families compared to, say, how a program places players in the professional ranks or postseason players?
Very good question. And I would look at some other programs over the last 15 years that have made major facility commitments and coaching staff commitments at the same time. And I, by no means am I trying to put the cart before the horse here, but when you look at the institution up the road in Charlottesville, they made a pretty big facility commitment. Guys down in Nashville made a pretty big commitment there before they brought Tim in there. And honestly, Louisville made a humongous commitment before they brought Dan in over there. And that's just to name a few. There's been many others. And I think when you're kind of fighting that draft battle, which you're talking about there,
For me, I really try to keep our players grounded as far as not getting too hung up on the frills of college athletics. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how big your Jumbotron scoreboard is or how cool your uniforms are. It matters how good you are and how tough you are and how well you can perform. However, if you don't have the frontline facilities that you need in a conference like this, you may never get the talent you want to come to your place in the first place. So it's like you have to have, you know, you have to have the foundation before you can put the rest of the house up, so to speak. And I look at all the commitment that's being made here, specifically towards baseball, as we're talking about here today. When you look at what everything's going on out there, that is a monstrous foundation before you put the rest of the house up. That will get you hopefully where you want to get to in this conference.
And then just as a quick follow-up, I would think Rare is the athletic director who's a former baseball player,
yeah,
at the collegiate level, whose father was a baseball player.
Yes.
Was that a draw to you?
It was an absolute draw to me, to be honest with you. I've been really fortunate to work for two athletic directors and their coach at Harvey, Tim Murray at Marist and Kevin Anderson at Maryland. Tremendous guys, really treated me and my family well. We had great success at both places. But I've never worked for a former baseball player who grew up in a baseball house. So, like, that was a really big thing that when you're reading about all everything that's going on here, it's impressive enough. But when you look beneath the covers a little bit and you start reading about that, any baseball coach would or should tell you that's like a very intangible thing that you can't really necessarily put a price tag on or put a value price on that. It's something where he's played the game, he's grown up in a house, he's going to understand a lot more things than probably the average athletic director would in regard to our sport.
Will?
Teal, one more question.
Mark.
John, obviously Virginia Tech was able to offer you a raise, but in terms of what else made you leave a successful program in a major conference to come to Virginia Tech, did you feel you had maybe taken Maryland as far as you could, and you wanted the challenge of a new rebuild and wanted to get back into that aspect of coaching, or what kind of pulled you here other than, obviously a nice salary?
Well, I can tell you that there was a lot of things. It was the commitment to baseball here. It was working for a baseball person. It was the conference. My passion is really building programs, and I love new challenges. And if you look at my background, my wife's background, we haven't been afraid to move. And at the same time, my kids are getting a little older now, and there's a lot of things I love about working in Maryland. One of the things that was not one thing I loved was the fact that I had to drive 45 minutes to work every day, one way. And it was taken away from me going to their games and Anna's horse, competitions and that sort of thing. So that played into it too. And it was all these things. And we've lived in a college town before. We lived in Manhattan, Kansas, and Lawrence, Kansas, and Lafayette, Louisiana. And they're great family places. So it was all these things wound up. It wasn't one or two or even three things. It was probably more like eight things. But from a baseball perspective, I've really always embraced the challenge of building programs. And in college baseball, the college baseball staff, they're the scouts, they're the GM, they're the developers, they're the front office, so to speak. And that's a great challenge for any baseball coach at any level. Now when you throw all this into it, and the conference, and having worked in the conference before, all that stuff that factored into it.
In the back? Coach, back here, Dave Walls with ABC 13, Roanoke Lynchburg. Talk for a little bit about ACC rivalries, because Virginia Tech obviously has so many rivals close by. Charlottesville is just down the road. They've had a lot of success. Talk about building the rivalry on the baseball side, if you could, with so many teams nearby, what you're looking forward to about playing in these programs.
That's a good question. It's hard for me to sit there and say that, our rival would be this school or that school. I mean, obviously we're in the same state with Virginia, so I would think that there's a rivalry there. Outside of that, I don't really look at it from that standpoint. Like, I know most, if not all, the head coaches in the ACC,
and I know how hard they work and what they're trying to do. And for me, it's not, I don't try to like pump up weekend games to our players. It's, you know, this isn't, you're not putting on a pair of shoulder pads and trying to run through a wall here like they do in football. Clearly this is a tremendous football place. What I'm trying to do with our guys is to back them down and have them relax and so that they can operate and be able to do what they do on a really high level. And from my experience, baseball players don't perform very well when you're constantly raising the bar for that particular weekend. So we have to do this, we have to do that. No, we don't have to do really anything other than relaxing, slowing the game down so that you can operate and do what you do. And normally, if you have enough good players that can handle the mental side of things and slow things down so that they can operate, usually good things will kind of take care of themselves. So I'm not a real rivalry buy-into type person in this sport, as may be the case in other sports. I'm just trying to get our guys to relax so that they can play and operate and do what they're here to do.
A couple more, Mark.
Given that you said you have a passion for building programs, so just how hard is it going to be or not to rebuild this when they had success under Pete Hughes, winning seasons, two NCAA tournament appearances? You know, is it in the ACC, is it going to be challenging to rebuild it back to that level or greater? Or do you feel like I know what the keys are and I've got a pretty good handle on how to accomplish that?
I mean, based on my experience, what I try to do is go into a new situation and evaluate it and listen an awful lot and learn it. I don't come in here and start beating my chest and say, hey, we're going to do it this way or else. It's not that way. You know, you have to kind of learn new people and learn the situation and be a good listener. As far as how hard it's going to be, it's just too early to tell, because I have to be able to get with the players on the field on a day-to-day basis and see where they're at physically, where their mentality is, and then we'll put our plan in place before they ever get here. And then we'll adjust it day to day. I do think the ACC is probably better than it was back when I left in 2014. If for no other reason is that Dan McDonald and Louisville are in the league. They weren't in the league in 2014. So, and the league was very good then. But I think Dan and Louisville make it even better now. You know, so it's a great challenge, but that's okay. I mean, there's every team in this league has good players. You can have great players in this league and win an awful lot, or you can have great players in this league. So many of the games are one runners or two runners. So, run games, I mean. And it just comes down to how you operate in close ball games, how guys can slow down and perform, how they can be detailed and do the little things. And, you know, it's not about really having 18 blue chip guys or first round draft. It's not about that. I mean, college baseball, it's about having guys who are good enough for the level you want them to perform at, preparing them, and they have to believe that we can get this accomplished. So it's just as much mental as it's physical.
What happened to the $41 tie?
It's back in the hotel. I'm gonna wear something.
So are you gonna return it or are you just to hold on?
Well, no, I'm gonna keep it. I think I gotta get this guy's tie back.
All right, thank you, everybody. Coach and Wood are available for one-on-ones for our guests. There's a reception in the back. Stick around and help us celebrate and welcome the Chef family to Blacksburg. Thank you.